Are you tired of working with generic IT providers that rely on you to be the expert? Arc IT goes beyond just fixing your tech headaches. They specialize in proactive IT management, BIM support, and data security for architecture firms. The team at Arc IT gets your tech so you can focus on doing your best work. Whether you're a small firm of 10 or a growing practice with 50 or more employees, unleash the full potential of your creative vision with Arc IT. Visit getarcit.com and schedule your free IT assessment today.
Hello, my name is Demetrius. This is Jason.
Morning, everyone.
And you are listening to Spaces Podcast Express. Thank you for coming back, everybody. Today, we're going to have a conversation about this article that came out in Builder Magazine by John McManus. Really good article. The title of it is "This is Personal for Home Builders, Black Lives Matter." Yes, we're going to talk about Black Lives Matter. Please do not turn this off. Please open your mind and listen. We're going to have a honest conversation of our opinions and our experiences. So it's only 15 minutes. Just listen in. So Jason, today I wanted to bring this up particularly because this article was really good. And it, for me, it was a huge step because in our industry, I've noticed throughout this whole thing, since this thing kind of started to come to the surface as of late, our industry has been noticeably silent about the matter. I think there was a few mentions from architecture firms that I've seen, but a lot of it was more surface kind of PR stuff that we've mentioned before in previous episodes. There's a couple companies that made some strong commitments as far as how they're going to address it in the, through their organization, making donations and trying to target certain communities and schools from disadvantaged communities to try and bridge that gap and educate and bring people along through into the industry. But largely, it's been pretty quiet. I don't think I've seen any home builders say anything about this situation. So I wanted to bring this up because this really stood out to me from such a large magazine to take such a firm stance and to basically highlight that this story talks about an instance where John McManus is talking with a home builder CEO who recently had gone to a large CEO gathering of home builders. And everyone sort of talked about business as usual, and this particular CEO decided to address the issue and bring it up in some sense. So it was really a strong article. I highly suggest you guys check it out. I'll put the link in our show notes, but just wanted to talk about this a little bit. Jason, from your experience, have you seen anybody talk about this issue? And then two, has this issue sort of hit your shores at work or in run-ins in the industry?
Yeah, I got to be honest, I haven't personally been exposed to it in industry or in discussions here or in our company. And I may be semi-sheltered just because, you know, I've been part of what was a private company for so long in my career. We have, you know, at our dance studio, my wife's partner is Black. Mm-hmm. So I've been sensitive, and not in a bad way or a good way, but just trying to understand or at least, you know, have a discussion with him and share some different things back and forth about, you know, how this is affecting him and that culture, because clearly I'm not, you know, I'm not Black. So I don't have that. I may be Mexican and I may be white, but I'm not Black. Mm-hmm. And I don't face the same types of things. But in our company here, no, I haven't seen it. And I've never been in any discussions with home builders of any sort where, you know, something like that would come up or any, you know, real racial things would come up. I think what a lot of people are saying these days is, you know, the jokes and stuff are part of that. I'm not going to lie to you. The jokes have been around forever. And I think we all do them in different regards. And, you know, whether it's Mexican jokes or white people jokes or Black people joke, whatever, I don't care. It's just there. Mm-hmm. And maybe that does have to stop. You know, I don't know what the answer is, but, and part of the reason you know, you and I were kind of rapping about this before, you know, the show started, because it's a very touchy subject, you know, and for me, you know, it sounds goofy, but like, I don't know what to do. And this is the same thing I shared with our partner, because I am empathetic and sympathetic in a lot of ways. I can't say 100% because, again, I don't know. And I don't know what to do. You know, it feels like sometimes people want me to tell them I'm sorry for the stuff that I have going on, but then I also don't think that that's the answer. But then what do you do? And I, you know, and maybe part of the reason why I haven't been exposed to a lot of this in other situations is because people know I probably wouldn't stand for it. And so maybe they don't have those conversations around me. Or maybe I've just been lucky. You know what I mean? I don't know. But so, you know, long way about, no, I haven't been exposed to it specifically, in industry or, you know, in our company here. So I guess that's a lucky thing.
Yeah.
And we're pretty diverse in our companies. I'll be honest with you. Not a lot of black associates. But a lot of culture, you know what I mean? In every way and different capacities. So, and different wage scales all over the place too. So, we have, you know, pretty decent diversity.
Yeah.
Could it be better? Yeah. But I don't want to make it better for the sake of making it more diverse, just for the cause. But, so anyway, long roundabout answer to your question.
Yeah. I think, as you mentioned, feels like you have to apologize. I don't think that's the case, is that people are expecting an apology per se, but there's just been like this, don't talk about it. We have to move forward from here, but that's not acknowledging. And I think that's what people want, is an acknowledgement, because there hasn't been an acknowledgement that issues have happened. And because of what has happened, there is a systemic problem. And if you just try to ignore what has happened in the past, you don't know how it has bored its way into our system. One of the largest problems is education. And there's just this very difficult bridge to break down. And a lot of this kind of came about, and this has to do with our industry, during the late 1930s, with the New Deal from President Roosevelt, which basically birthed the home building industry. And it was a commitment to develop homes and to try and get all families into homes. But the problem with that is the loan industry and housing markets ended up basically, and there was actual covenants. And I was trying to get Zach to mention this in our previous call, but he probably never saw it. But there are actual titles that have certain covenants and rules in them that still say today that a black person cannot buy this property. They've tried to weed a lot of those out, but there you can still find some of those. But what happened was that there was home builders that actually had in their rules that you cannot have black people live in this house. I believe Levittown was one of them. And what happened is that loan companies ended up doing something called redlining, which they, if you've heard of it, they literally boxed out these areas.
Borders.
Yep. Yeah, borders. And people from those communities did not get good loans and could not move into these, and also could not move into these development homes by law. So if you cannot move up, then you're stuck in these areas, which property values are going down. And then throughout history, a lot of things happened where programs were cut and subsequently just harmed those areas further, and they start to spiral down in crime and drugs and all this other stuff, and you're stuck there and you can't move out. And for those that were able to get those homes, they were able to sell those homes and move up and gather more and more wealth, and that family continued to move on this upward trend while others were moving downward. So that's historically, and that's one thing that people are not acknowledging.
Well, see, I think so. Here's something that's huge for me. Because this whole time that I feel like I'm in a state of flux, like I don't know how to help, I don't know how to do these types of things or whatever. The conversations that I've had up to this point with people regarding this subject, and literally I'm saying the same thing to all of them, like, what do I do?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I want you to know that I support you. I want someone to know, like, if somebody was coming, as far as I'm concerned, they're throwing stones at me too, if I'm standing side by side with you. You follow me?
Yeah.
We don't know what to do, but you use an example like that, and you're like, for sake, like, if that's literally in the writing, like, that can't be there anymore. How, so what do we do to create a scenario where we're literally going to people and saying, this right here is the problem, part of the problem, but is the problem, not you need to understand, you need to recognize, you need to do this and this. Well, you show me that, I'm like, I understand.
Yeah.
You follow what I'm saying? And I think maybe that's a massive gap. Although we want this in the discussion and we want to have this as part of the discussion, but what needs to be part of the discussion? Because I feel, and this is media and everything else, they skirt it and change it and make it take a different message to maybe where I can't get the info that I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. So I really don't know how to do anything. So ultimately what that does is it stymies it back down, right? Because people get frustrated. They don't know what to do.
Yeah.
So how do we look at stuff and say, this needs to be reformed, this needs to be reformed, and this needs to be reformed. You show me in black and white that something says a black person cannot own this property. Mm-hmm. Fuck you.
Yeah.
If they've got money, it's the same greenback that everybody else has. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like this is, we live in a capitalistic world for a reason. You know what I'm saying? So how do we identify those things? Because I think if somebody literally in the 5 or 6 conversations I've had since this thing's been going on, nobody has once said that, or nobody has once taken something and said, this right here is part of the problem.
Yeah.
Do you understand where I'm saying? Because that helps immensely. And how do you look at that and not say, yeah, that's not cool. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And it's the ones that you can find where it was still there. They're probably largely not adhered to.
Very few and far between, I'm sure too.
And they're probably not adhered to, but a culture has emerged because of it, where people look at people that don't look it like them as an outsider, and they're not welcome per se, or it just starts to pervade in a lot of other ways. So that's why it's hard to say what to do specifically. And I think the first step is an acknowledgement of what exists, and then we can get in a room and figure out, okay, now how do we address this? Once you start to acknowledge, then there's a level of empathy that occurs and a willingness to open your mind and see beyond mm-hmm. just the right or the left and mm-hmm. start to say, okay, I understand now that there's this problem. Now let's see how we can do that. We can adjust the school system so that we can have a more level playing field of education throughout the entire country, rather than if your community makes more money than this community. Maybe there's a baseline of education level, or maybe there's a certain way that we can sort of bridge the gap and get resources to certain communities to bring them up a little bit more and help expedite that. And that takes a level of thinking beyond your political views and having a willingness to vote for something that may not be in your immediate interest, but it's going to bring up another community, which will decrease crime in another way.
Well, I think we all at this point got to agree that politics are f***ed at this point. If you have been paying attention to anything that's been going on for the last 7 months, you got to realize you cannot trust in any manner the political system.
Yeah.
You can't do that. And the ignorant people, I'm saying that, are going to stay on their very far left or their very far right. Mm-hmm. They're going to be that dumb and stupid. And those are probably the same. And that's truly how I believe about that. It's mm-hmm. dumb or stupid, one or the other, right? And you have to realize that they're somewhere in the middle. Now, you know, I'm excited about this because, you know, you've stated something to me that makes it very black and white. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I think if you don't have things that are black and white to be able to go to people and say, would you agree that this is right or wrong, and make them make a decision on a hard line fact, mm-hmm. there's no way you catch any ground these days, because it's too easy to twist and manipulate things, right?
Yeah.
So if you had like 3, 4, 5 like concrete examples of, would we all agree it's not okay to say that a black person can't own this home, mm-hmm. or it's not okay to say that a Chinese person can't own this home, mm-hmm. because there's that too, right? I mean, your whole point is equality in whole.
Yeah.
So, and this is just giving it the fire for that, right?
Yeah.
So you look at those types of things and you say it from that perspective, and that way we go, and that's when we can start and not say we've got to change all these things, but let's start here. And then once we get this accomplished, and we're cool, okay, stage B, you know what I mean? Stage C, stage D, you know, we keep moving forward, as opposed to coming in with this huge ominous idea that just gets lost. And I feel like that's what's happening. And that's why somebody like myself, who's highly sympathetic and empathetic to the idea that I want everybody to have a good shot at whatever they want to create.
Yeah.
Not be given,
yeah.
but whatever they want to create. So that somebody used for me the example of the race, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, everybody's got the 1 mile run or whatever it is, but this guy's being held back for 200 meters, or, you know, I'm terrible with
units,
but he's being held back. Okay, that sucks. Now, if you give everybody the same race and you tell everybody right away, look, there's God-given abilities, let's not forget that, mm-hmm. but you give everybody the same opportunity to work as hard as they possibly can to create whatever they want to create, dude, I'm down 150%.
Yeah.
So that's what I want to try and cut to, is all the crap about, well, you just have to understand. I would love to.
Yeah.
I really would. I'm a decently intelligent individual, and I'm highly sympathetic and empathetic to individuals.
Yeah.
As long as it's something that we can point to say that this is an opportunity that either A, you can create, or you were held back by,
mm-hmm.
and allow us to attack that.
Yeah.
So I would love to see that type of stuff.
Yeah. And there's tons.
I don't know what exists.
There's tons of resources out there. I'll try to put a few in our show notes. Nothing comes to mind immediately to our industry, but I'll try to put a couple things in there.
But this is bigger than industry, right?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
So it doesn't have to be. You know what I mean? We're talking about the BLM movement or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Which, you know, we're just talking about equality.
Yeah.
Is all we're talking about, because I don't really want to say BLM, Black Lives Matter, equality, right? Let's just all agree that's what we're talking about. You know.
Equity and equality. And I wanted to mention this before we get out of here, because this is sort of the direction that the article goes, is it's more along the lines of representation in an executive capacity and of our industry as well. Because in this article, he references how this meeting of 50 CEOs and all the largest corporate housing companies, and this one CEO actually said a very poignant question that I think this whole thing is framed around, and it's, who of us would be here right now on this call if we had been born Black? And I found that super fascinating in so many levels, and there's so many layers to this conversation, but I just wanted to touch on that part of it, because I've personally experienced it is very difficult to get ahead for whatever reason. I'm not going to say anybody is racist or anything like that, but we know it's human nature to have a better relationship with people that remind you of yourself. And if there's no one ever at the top that looks like you, then the chances of elevating are even slimmer. So no matter how well I do, a relationship with someone else can be much closer, and they will give them the nod a lot of times. I've been involved with opportunities where people that were my peers, you know, we can do the same things. They were elevated to be the face of the company while I made it clear that's what my intention was, where I wrote articles and asked to sort of be able to have the company back me to get these articles published. And I was denied and said the company was trying to limit the amount of voices that were coming out of the company, although a lot of people were backing me and saying this is a really good article and kind of vouch for me. The higher up level denied it. So I ended up having to do it myself through like Medium and other stuff like that. I've been in situations where I found out a peer's pay was like, when I was getting paid hourly, was like $7 more than mine. And I asked for more and I got like a couple dollars increase, but I still knew in the back of my mind there was still a $5 gap of hourly pay. And you just start to wonder all these things, is like, why? If I know, and objectively, I can do the same amount of things, the same type of things, the same skill level as other people, why is there this gap? And you start to just wonder.
Let me ask you a question. I don't disagree that there's got to be some of that somewhere, mm-hmm. right? And I think you've seen it too, like with you know, the women's rights movements and those types of things as well, right? Similar CEOs, pay completely different, whatever the deal is.
Yeah.
But you can't use that across the board.
No.
Right. And so what is important for me to say is, look, I've worked harder than people, and I use sports as an analogy all the time.
Yeah.
Right. Cause it's really one of the cleanest things to do. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I've worked harder than people. I've been there before them. I've been there after them. I've been in the gym longer than them. I've, you know, organized things to make us better, whatever the deal is. But sometimes I just wasn't better.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it sucked. And it may have been a minute difference. And I'm sitting here looking, but look at the body of work I've put together to do this.
Yeah.
I remember playing one sport when I was killing it. And all of a sudden these two dudes just showed up that were 6'2", freaking 40 pounds more muscle than I was, faster than I was, couldn't read a play nearly as good as I was, but they're just better. You know what I mean? And you know, one of them was Black, you know what I mean? Which is fine, because I didn't see it that way. Cause I play, you know, that's the great thing about sports too. You have one common goal and everybody's there to get that common goal done.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been times when I just wasn't good enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And even though I may have thought in my head that I did everything I could have, or that I should have been, or I'm just as good, there's things that, and reasons why I wasn't. You know, I can even use employment that I have. There's certain things that kept me in a private company from making certain dollars, even though I outperformed other people.
Yeah.
That I just was never going to get there. And I could go fight the idea of it's not fair and it's not equal. Yeah. or I could leave and I could go try to do it somewhere else. You know what I mean? And I had the cost benefit way out that I had to decide on, you know what I mean? So I think one of the things I struggle with is I look at it and maybe because I don't have a full appreciation because I don't fully understand. Mm-hmm. Right. And I'm willing to say that as well. Where is that difference? Where is it? Like, maybe like, you know, someone has to hear the hard truth of, you know what, you just weren't good enough. I'm not saying that was about you. Could have been, you know, who knows. Right. But you just weren't good enough. And it has nothing to do with the color of your skin or whatever the deal is. Sometimes it may have everything to do with the color of your skin, but I think it would be a little bit more obvious. You know what I mean? To draw that, I'm saying to draw that hard line.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But what I'm scared of, and this is where I get in trouble. This is why a lot of times where I don't want to talk about these things, mm-hmm. but maybe you're going to have to come to the grips with the idea that you can't use that as an excuse for everything. Mm-hmm. And that's why I go back to, can we point to the specific things where we can all start and get on the same page and then work from there, as opposed to this idea of, you know, everybody's being oppressed. And everybody might be oppressed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that's not the place to start, I don't think. You know what I mean? And that's, and again, like, I'm getting hot right now, you know what I mean? Cause it's uncomfortable because I feel like no matter what I say is going to be used against me.
Yeah.
But that's not my intention.
No, I understand. But, an obstacle that I was referring to is called implicit bias. Okay. And that's that situation of it.
Recognition. It's 100%.
And I honestly don't think any of these people are outright racist or anything, but it's 100%. Just that implicit bias that gets in the way.
It is well documented. I agree with you. And then 100%.
A few things I want to mention is that although Black people make up 13% of the population, there is only, I often see this number of 2%, like in a lot of different situations. Irvine, there's a population of 2% Black people. Architects, there's a population of 2%, less, I think it's 2% now. Hmm. And surprisingly, of Black women, there's less than 500 licensed Black women in the United States.
In total,
less than 500. Hmm. I think it's 430 something. And is that 2% just like
some unwritten rules
throwing people a bone? Or it's really weird. But I think nobody wants things handed to them in any manner at all. Nobody wants that. Yeah. It's just people just want a fair shot and some sort of representation. And as you mentioned, a lot of people end up just leaving companies and starting their own. Like that's the only way that it seems to have worked. That's ultimately why I left. A lot of people, I think, do that. It's just, there doesn't seem to be, if there's no one at the top that shows that there's a chance to do it, it starts to bear down on you. Just like, this is never going to happen. So a lot of people end up leaving and starting their own companies. And that's where you see the executives that are of different cultures are a lot of times, you know, they own their own companies. But anyway, I want to wrap up. We went way over this time.
Well, it sounds like we have a lot more to talk about still, though.
Yeah. So maybe we'll come back at some other point in the future. But any last comment before we go?
No, I just would, you know, there's some of us that really, really believe in the right people for the right job. Mm-hmm. And we want to see everybody have that opportunity to do so. Mm-hmm. And what I've been talking with my wife about, a few friends and stuff like that is, you know, I would love to understand how to do that. You know what I mean? And like I said, you know, and I've heard some good examples, the conversation, someone makes a racial joke and nobody in those races around you to stand up and say, that's not the right thing to do. Like, let's, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's a good way to start, but I don't know if it's enough, you know? And I think the thing that I come back to with my wife all the time with this stuff is we're raising our kids right. Mm-hmm. To not stand for these types of things, because to be honest with you, I've lost hope in most of the generation that's currently in power and our generation. I think most of us, our views are already shaped and they're probably not going to change too much. But I think our ability to change the next generation, especially while they're stuck at home with us these days all the time, and we are their culture completely right now, which is wrong, mm-hmm. but that's what it is. I think that's the only way that we're really going to see a positive and swift change in movement. That doesn't help the statement right now. It doesn't help the State of the Union right now. Mm-hmm. But if we pour into our kids and teach them, and this is, you know, this is not to take away from everything, but the belief that we're all God's children, like that's how everybody should be treated and move forward. You know what I mean? And train our kids, teach our kids properly.
Yeah.
But the youth aren't the problem, because for the most part, they run up to each other and high five and hug. And yep. You look at that density mix, it's just ridiculous. They don't see that. So it's a learned behavior, which we all have to understand. And I agree with that. Mm-hmm. So how do we just ensure that that learned behavior dies?
Yeah, definitely. I think, I don't think it's too late for people to change their minds. I think the first step is an acknowledgement. Second step is being willing to put in a little effort to educate yourself. There's tons of resources just to familiarize yourself with history and the current state of things. And that will then open your mind to maybe change the way you vote on certain things and in your community, your immediate community, maybe how some of the money is moved within your community. Maybe that'll change the way you vote on some of those things. And those are the steps that start to work and evolve things, because a lot of it, like I mentioned multiple times, a lot of it has to do with education. If you come out ill-equipped from the beginning, it's extremely hard to catch up.
That's fair.
We'll leave it at that, but thank you for having this hard conversation. We'll come back to it at some point in the future.
We should. We really should.
All right, man. Thanks.
This show is part of the Gable Media Network. You can check out similar content at gablemedia.com. That's gablemedia.com. You can help support what we're doing here by leaving a 5-star rating and a review on your preferred podcasting app. It helps others find us, and your support is the only way that this show grows. And don't forget to connect with us through our Facebook community, Instagram, and see the random thoughts and articles that we share on Twitter and LinkedIn. Thank you again for spending some time with us. Talk soon.
Calling all AEC professionals. Get ready for unparalleled professional insights with Detailed, an original podcast by RCAT. This is the podcast that brings you the untold stories and lessons learned behind the design and delivery of a building project. Hey, it's Charisse Lakeside, aka the CSI Kraken, and your host. Join me as we dive deep into the tales of conflict, triumph, and sheer ingenuity.
Yeah, so when Serena was named for the, it was going to be named for the building, you know, we really were able to work with teams at Nike Branding and how to really infuse her influence and identity in the very public spaces.
Detailed features architects, engineers, builders, and manufacturers who spill the beans on the most complex, interesting, and downright odd building conditions they've encountered.
Another challenge of the shuttle is actually putting it in launch position is how you brace that seismically. It's really supported by only two pins at the base of the booster rockets. And there's a large base isolator that's underneath the shuttle that kind of prevents it from moving too much in an earthquake.
When you have 600 people or 300 people in a room, acoustically, you really need a high floor to floor so that you can have the right acoustic environment for people to be able to talk, and that speech intelligibility is really good.
Every episode unveils lessons learned and connects you to the products you need to navigate similar challenges. Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Detailed today and be prepared for the unexpected on your next project. Every building has a story, and we are here to tell it.